Be with me, Lord, when you the all power and the all glory. We thank you so very much for the love that you have for us in sending your only Son into this world to die on that cruel cross of Calvary, that we might have the hope of being with you someday in heaven. We thank you for the many blessings of this life that you have given. And we pray for those which are mentioned here this day, that you will be with them in their sorrow and in their pain. And if you bring the sick and the help back to their most wanted place in here, if it be thy will, that they may be with us. Again, we pray for this country, for the leaders, and for the all the people who protect over us and look over us, Lord, that you will give them the wisdom and knowledge to do things that they should do, and that we will once again become a country that we can be proud of. We pray also, Lord, that you will keep this country safe and out of harm's way, and that you will be with us always. We pray for those always who is in thy name. Go with us now and be with us throughout our life. And when this life is over, we pray that we'll have a home with you in heaven. And be that way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Be seated, please. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 449. 449. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place. Five.
still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart is no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land.
What does the Lord in His Word tell us about doing once we find ourselves saved from sin? There's an important matter, and that is that in 2 Peter chapter 2, reference is made to those who slip and fall away and who fall back into that same pattern once again and find themselves in deeper trouble with the Lord. What did He tell us to do? Well, in this way of work, He talked about these disciples in His Sermon on the Mount. First off, He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He spoke there in regard to how the earthly activities of life furnished us food, clothes, and shelter as we labor and work with that in our lives. And He's talking about these things being added, not worked diligently for, not hoping it might come about someday in doubt, but how that in faith we live before God. Because He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." The kingdom is described in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 13 as entrance into God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace, and that God has translated us out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Into the kingdom. And how that we're part of the kingdom once we're saved from sin, He's added us to His kingdom. Now once He's added us to His kingdom, in Colossians 4 verse 16, He tells, Paul tells the brethren, "See that this letter be read also among them that are the church at Laodicea." He mentions a certain household that the church is meeting in there now. And he wants them to read what he has written to this congregation at Colossae. Now we have it identified as the church which is at Colossae. The letters written to the people who became citizens of the kingdom. And yet, here is the letter being read among the brethren and studied by them as to the church at Colossae. What is the difference of it? The difference we find in Jesus' explanation about the kingdom being the eternal kingdom of God. And in writing of Peter in this regard, he says to add unto your faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But an abundant entrance shall be administered unto you into the everlasting kingdom. If in fact as we become members of the church, as is described in Acts 2 at 47, the Lord adds daily to the church those that are being saved, he's still adding people to his church even today as those are being saved. And so as they're added to his church, they become a part of adding to their daily walk of life charity, as well as faith, as well as virtue. And all these things are added. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be barren and unfruitful, but entrance into the everlasting kingdom. That means that we get into the church, and we as members of the church are to behave as members of a human body. We have no hearing in our hands, but in our ears. We have no sight in our knees, but in our ears. The idea is to be a person who has the concept of using what abilities they have in the church of our Lord. Now then, once they're in the church and adding to their faith, virtue, knowledge, and temperance into the everlasting kingdom, when they get to the point of life when they die, they are ministered by God into the everlasting kingdom. We find ourselves in the kingdom of God's dear Son. What a blessing it is to have that to happen. While we save from sin, we need to take a look at who's taught us about that salvation. We don't need to go out and claim that we have been saved by way of people in our lives who told us, you've been saved, this is the way of being saved, and this is the way that you did, and this is the way of your salvation. Can we read it in God's Word? On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, when Peter said, repent ye, in verse 38, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. There will be forgiveness of those sins that will be done. They'll be remitted from your life. And then he says in verse 47, that the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. When he added them to his church, they were people who could be saved from their sins, and they were people who could rejoice in that way of life. Now in Romans chapter 6, when he says we're baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve or be enslaved unto sin. Then he goes on to note how that being in Christ, they have a wonderful blessing. In Romans 6 and 18, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness. When we become the servant of righteousness, then we became the servant of righteousness. When we were made free from our sins, when we were baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk a new life, we found that blessing to come from him. And we could rejoice to know that that was the hope that we now have of being with him in his everlasting kingdom someday. If we're people who like that, we'll find ourselves doing what the Lord said to do after that we are saved from our sins. He wants us to behave and to be people growing and serving the Lord in his way. As a result of that, we become people serving God's righteous way. And there in Ephesians 1 at verse 7, when he says, in whom, that's in Christ, How do we get into Christ? Go back to Romans 6 and see. We're baptized into Christ. We have a faith in Him, of being baptized into Him and raised to walk a new life. Now, once we have that done, he says here in Ephesians 1:7, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. Where did He shed His blood? In His death. And that's what he says there in Romans 6. We were baptized into the death of Christ. We were baptized into where His blood was shed, in His death. And he says there in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. Wonderful it is, a blessing that we had when we came into Christ. We should evermore be thankful for that blessing of eternal salvation and hope. Now then, as we faithfully serve the Lord with the members that we have in the church of our Lord, doing the part that they can do, doing what the service that they can do, all the way through life they become more and more proficient at serving the Lord's cause in that right way. That's a blessing. And what we find is that blessing will be sustained in the end. In James 1 at verse 26, 27, he writes, pure religion. That's the religion that we practice, or we should practice. But he's telling the brethren, pure religion is this, to visit, to care for the fatherless and widows, the orphans and the widows, or to be cared for in their affliction. They have troubles and difficulties and needs that are unlike others that have a companion and work together in the relationship with the Lord in His work. That as they seek first the kingdom, these things will be added to them. Here are those people in life who need a helping hand. And what should we do? Practice pure religion. It's undefiled before God when we practice pure religion. Because pure religion is a worship that is in spirit and in truth. As you read in John 4. God seeks true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, in our heart, in our dependability of relationship to God. In spirit and in heart. We find ourselves rejoicing to worship God in spirit and in heart. Let's be people who follow that right way and always be a person of worship and activities like that. Never, as he says in Hebrews 10:25, forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. I don't care about going today. I don't care about that. That should never be our intent. It should always be our intent. What went on there today? What was preached there today? What was taught there today? What was prayed for there today? How did the people react to one another today? When we think of those questions that we want to ask of our brethren that we couldn't attend when we were sick, when we were in hospital, or when we were at home in bed and could not get about, we still are interested in the church of our Lord and the worship of God in spirit and in truth. And as we worship God in that spirit and in truth, we find ourselves blessed of the Lord eternally. For if we find ourselves in the church and we find ourselves growing in virtue and in knowledge and in temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love, we'll find ourselves being what He wanted us to be, so that at some day we will be administered an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. We'll be there with the Lord and be there eternally with Him. What should we do when we find ourselves saved from sin? Is that all there is to it? Check to make sure that I was saved as the Bible tells me that people were saved. As Paul wrote, we were saved in Romans 6. As he describes that salvation in Ephesians 1 and verse 7. And as he talked about the kingdom and the place of the kingdom in the lives of the people at Colossae in Colossians 1 at 13. And the letter to be read among the church which is at Laodicea in Colossians 4 at 16. That's the way to do it, way to behave. That's the way to act, and how thankful we should be that that is the case. Now, as we do this, there's certain ways of life that we need to follow. And as we follow those ways of life, as described this morning in some of these ways, we find ourselves being people who put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we do that, we'll be people who are blessed thereby. We'll find ourselves in this, we'll discover the meaning of the relationship that we have with God. There's a bulletin that we have that's a track that we'll have for the next few months of time on the board back there on that tree. Maintaining a quality life by living the real cause, it says. We're born in this world in a relationship. We may not recognize it, that mama's mama and daddy's daddy, and we're in a relationship with brothers and sisters that we have, but we are nevertheless there. And when we see that manifest to us in love and in mannerisms that they express toward us in like kind, we'll know the security of having good brothers and sisters and a good mom and dad to guide us and direct us in the ways that we ought to go. If we have that to happen, we'll have a wonderful amount of duty to honor that particular relationship, and we'll have a ray of mercy that is extended in that relationship. Now, if we're in a home life where there are moms and dads that we find that have decided what they'll do is beat this into their children, then we'll find a different way of looking at life. We'll find a different way of maintaining a real quality of life, because we will also grow up to think that that's the way to cause people to mind. That's the way to cause people to obey. That's the way to tell them to obey, is to beat them always within each of their lives. Sad that is the case. When there is to be the kind of discipline to guide our children into adding faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. Instead of adding those things to their daily walk of life, what they add to their lives are hollowness, emptiness, envy, and fear, hesitancy, anger, resentment, worldliness in life, wine, various women, various ungodly songs and drugs and alcohol and pornography. All those things will pertain to the physical survival of the individual and not the spiritual. They'll grow that way. They'll be bent that way by way of life. But if that relationship has a duty and mercy that's extended, they will have appeasement that guides and directs them, forgiveness that will be given unto them, and honesty that will be a part of their decision-making in life. Power and love and sound mind, self-discipline, faith and charity, those things will be a part of the spiritual walk as they add faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. If they add those things, they'll have one day an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. But if they do not apply these things to their membership of the church of the Lord and become the kind of person like these things tell them to be, practice a pure religion, care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and keep himself unspotted from the world, what they will do if they don't find themselves practicing that way of life, they'll practice the opposite way of life. It'll be only for the physical, only for the physical mentality, only for the physical body, only for that way of life. And when they do that at the end, they'll find themselves only just surviving. Sad it is when we practice that way of life. What should we do once we're saved from sin? Should we be people who find ourselves honoring God's will and God's way and His holy word? Being the person that His book tells us from one place to another. Why didn't God put this all in one particular verse in the New Testament of the Bible? I've looked at that for a number of years. I've been asked that question by a number of people. And I ask What is the difference? God wanted us to know His Word. And if we study to show ourselves approved unto God, what will we become? People who have a knowledge of what He said about virtue and faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience, godly brotherliness, kindness, and love. What will we find if we people who study to show ourselves approved unto God? We offer that opportunity for people to come together and discuss things that they've studied in the Bible on their own. When my grandparents found themselves studying the Bible and looking at the Scripture, and they went to various church meetings and church group meetings in a denominational world, they found themselves being taught about a sinner's prayer to say for salvation. They looked for it, but they could not find it. They went to an old preacher, Doss Jeffcoat, who came through the area, put up a brush arbor, and held services at night with lanterns on the outside of that particular brush arbor. They were able to see words of a song that they sang. And that man got up and preached about what Jesus said about being saved from sin. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned." Jesus said, "If you do not believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, where I go, you cannot come." What did my grandparents do? They went back the next day to their home preacher in the denominational world. And they said, "This man taught differently last night than what you teach. We've looked in the Scripture to see what you taught. We can't find that. Where do you find that in the Scripture to speak about saying a word of prayer for our salvation?" He put them off with words that were not very encouraging. "You went over there to hear that man preach, and that man preached." "No, no, no, no." Uncle Walter answered and said, "No, he didn't just preach his word. He quoted the Scripture from us. To us. He quoted the Scripture." "Well, if y'all just don't go back over that way, you won't be bothered by this sort of thing." They went away from his house, and the next day they were out plowing in the fields. One or more of them took their Bible to the field. Always did. At the shade, when they rested at the shade, they'd read a verse of Scripture and try to memorize it, so that they could say it as the old mules pulled the plows through the field. And when they got to the other end of it in the shade, they stopped to see if they could remember what they'd read. They had a memory of God's Word. And so they decided they'd go back one more night, and they'd ask that man to preach from the Bible what to do to be saved from sin once again. And he said, "I won't preach what I want to have you do to be saved from sin. I'll teach to you what the Bible tells us that the inspired apostles of the Lord taught people to do to be saved from sin." They turned in their Bible as he read. They each one sat next to a post that had a lantern on the outside of it. They opened their Bible and they turned there and they read there what it says to do in order to become saved from sin, in order to have the remission of your sins, in order to be new in the sight of the Lord. And one of them remembered that when they brought up those things to discuss, their church always was arguing and always was saying, "Oh, you don't want to believe that. You don't want to practice that way of life. You don't want to do that. It'll interrupt everything about your daily walk. If this is the Bible, if this is the Word of God, it needs to interrupt our way of walk," was their reply. And that's the way of life that needs to be for us today. We need to be people who follow God's will and God's way and enjoy what He has said and And it doesn't matter what others may say that says, no, that's not the right way to go. Because it is God's way to go. I'm glad I've got that background. I'm glad I got those people who didn't believe just anything that a young 12 or 14 year old preacher who had churches there in that central area of Mississippi had. They could go to the Bible and see what I was preaching. They could see it right there. The emphasis that was given to it was given to me individually by those people. What a blessing we have today. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation, what do you do once you're saved from sin? Are you sure of it? Do you go back and check it out with these verses in Romans 6 and Ephesians 1 and Colossians chapter 1? Do you check out what they did for be saved from sin in the New Testament and practice that way of life? I hope that you do and will, and that you'll continue to investigate the type of things that the church does and activities it preaches about, teaches about, and practices from week to week. And in this household, I've known this congregation for many years, beyond 40 years of time. And I know of what they had in mind when they wanted to serve things and help people and do things that the Bible says they would practice pure religion if they did it. What a blessing. Come as we stand and as we sing together.
Come to Jesus, He will save you.
Though
your sins as crimson glow, if you give your heart to Him, He will make it white as snow.
Sunday night and Wednesday night attendance, because we're part of the Lord's Word and His will. God bless you all. I look forward to seeing you tonight, if possible, and for sure that we will be people in prayer about those away from us, that they will safely be back home. God bless you.
Daily pages, swiftly the hours are changing through years. How are we using God's precious moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? Into our
sent your son to this earth to live and to die for us.